You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Homeless people suffering from alcohol addiction will be allowed to consume alcohol in a safe, permanent shelter whilst undergoing rehabilitation programs. The project received strong ratepayer support in a recent poll and is part of the council's Housing First strategy, helping to take people off the streets. The Mayor of Wellington, Justin Lester, says the council is looking at providing a 14-bed facility in the CBD and have already lined up a building. I spoke to Wellington's Downtown Community Ministry Director, Stephanie McIntyre, about the program.
It's a permanent housing option, so I mean, the way it will work is it will be, I mean, it'll really be like any other housing. The issue that we've got is that we've got people who are dying out on our streets. You know, we've got, and they're people with very high unmet needs. And at the moment, there's no appropriate permanent housing options for people in that kind of situation. So it will be a high-quality, staffed, communal, permanent home where people will be connected to services. And it's a form of alcohol treatment. I think people have got quite hung up, and I mean, not surprisingly, because the term wet house is being sort of used as a label so much out there. But I think the point of this is that it's a permanent home for people who need and want, or perhaps even need but aren't really ready to participate in the kinds of alcohol treatment that we have out there. And so what we have at the moment are options that start with sobriety, and that sobriety is then a condition of people retaining the housing and keeping connected to services. Whereas the difference with this is that it's called a harm minimisation or a harm reduction model. So people start off and drinking's an acceptable part of that commencement, but everyone will have a key worker who develops a holistic plan with them about supporting them to become more well. And part of that will be helping them to stabilise their drinking, so to take out the dangerous forms of drinking like binge drinking. And I mean, we have people using meths and drinking meths and things like that in our city. So it's to help people to become more well and really to stop this alarming trend of people dying young who've got alcohol-related disorders and who are very unwell.
So will this just be for those that suffer from alcoholism, or will drug addicts be admitted as well?
Well, it's not legal to have harm minimisation drug use clinics in New Zealand. So, you know, we're not able to provide a site where people can use drugs. I think we'd be foolish to think that that means that people won't still use drugs. I mean, at the moment, there are people who are what we might call polydrug users, in other words, who are using a variety of things. But what's been proven to be very successful about models like this is that when you give people the stability of housing, you have a safe, warm, high-quality place to live that's staffed so that people feel safe, because one of the problems with shelters and those sorts of things is that there's not enough staffing, people are very unsafe, there's a lot of illicit drug use going on, even though the public might not realise that. And so when you provide that kind of environment where people are sleeping well and safely in their own bed, they have regular meals, they're connected with physical health, mental health, drug and addiction services, then all sorts of wonderful things start to happen in terms of people's health and well-being improving. And so actually some of the drivers for drug use go away. I mean, a lot of people are using drugs because they're living so unsafely and living in such chaotic situations. So, I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like it's magic somehow, but in fact this focuses on giving people the right environment to live in.
Some critics will say that this will just enable alcoholics. What is your response to this argument?
Yes, some people do say that, and I have to point to the overseas examples where it's been really shown through some great studies that have been done of existing projects that in actual fact alcohol use drops and health and well-being outcomes improve. So I think I can understand why some people feel uncomfortable about this. I think they've got misconceptions about what it means, and that's why I think using the term a wet house is very misleading and puts too much emphasis on the drinking aspect, actually. Whereas, in point of fact, this is really about supporting people to become more well. And the alternatives for people are, as I said, that people are dying out on our street. We just had a memorial service a couple of weeks ago for a 49-year-old, a lovely man, who has had problematic drinking since he was a 12-year-old, and he passed away at 49. Highly competent person who'd been a qualified and experienced chef and all sorts of things in his life, but was not able to access safe and permanent housing, largely to do with his drinking. And so the alternatives for people that we're going to condemn people to terrible ill health and to dying young.
So a similar program was proposed in Wellington's Island Bay in 2009, but there was a rather vociferous response by the local residents and the project was eventually shelved. What has the response been this time around?
I think that people have seen street homelessness, visible homelessness increase. I think that there's all of New Zealand is much more concerned about homelessness and the housing crisis. Perhaps people have adjusted to this and the hysteria around it's gone away. I mean, there was a very big public campaign mounted about that project that confused this kind of permanent safe home with what are called sort of wet day centres that are functioning in some countries that are quite the opposite, where people keep sleeping under a bush or outside a building and then go in and have a controlled drinking environment during the daytime. This is not about providing that sort of service, an absolute opposite to that, and it's a shame that there's really some sort of, I think, deliberate attempts by some people to sort of obfuscate the truth and confuse those sorts of models, because they're totally different. And I'm sympathetic to people feeling anxious about new projects in their communities. I mean, actually, this is about bringing safety for all of us, not decreasing people's safety.
So you've said similar programs have proved successful overseas. Could you tell us a little bit more about them?
Yes, I'd love to. I was very fortunate in 2007 to have the opportunity through a Winston Churchill grant to get overseas and have a look at a number of projects. And I went to an extraordinarily large number of projects. When I came back and wrote up my report about that, I focused on about 10 or a dozen of those, the very best ones, and I saw some remarkable things around the world. And one of the ones I went to had been opened in the previous year, and it was a new build in Seattle for 75 people. And that actually had a study connected to it through the Washington State University that was showing these remarkable sort of health benefits and outcomes. It was really like visiting the equivalent of a rest home. Yes, I've seen all sorts of projects, and I've had the opportunity to look at the ones that don't work so well and the ones that work extremely well. And we're fortunate in New Zealand that we're able to take the learnings of those kinds of projects and bring it together into something that we're really convinced will be a great project here in New Zealand.
Where is the funding coming from, and how much will it cost annually?
Well, I'm not able to confirm those details at the moment, because this is something that the Mayor is working on with some funders, and so I'm not the person who's able to confirm those sorts of details. I mean, we're genuinely making rapid progress on this, but it's just a little bit premature to probably explain those things at the moment. What I can say in terms of the cost is that providing any sort of residential accommodation might sound expensive, but when we look at the people who will be coming in to live in this home, and we look at the costs, we analyse the cost to the taxpayer that we're currently paying. I mean, these are people that are costing us an enormous amount through the use of our emergency services. That's the emergency department at the hospital, that's policing, that's court costs. If people are imprisoned, it's costing more than $100,000 a year to keep people in prison, and all these sorts of costs that actually you and I are paying for. And so really, relatively speaking, these are very cost-effective models. And although New Zealand's not very well ahead in terms of doing that kind of cost-effectiveness, most certainly in Australia and in the US, they've done some very good studies that show that actually there's a phenomenal cost saving. And of course, that's just the economic cost, but the human cost, this is enabling people to get reconnected to their families who those connections have been broken because of the upsetting situation of the impacts of their alcohol use. It's enabling people to live and become more well. I mean, I think if people worked in a situation as we do here at DCM and watched the steady flow of people dying on our streets, I mean, you really would feel very motivated to find a permanent home for people to live in so that they could become more well.
Could you see a similar program happening in Auckland?
Well, absolutely. I think that I do think that every major city in New Zealand is going to want this kind of housing option. It actually makes very good sense. I'm already talking to other providers who very much want this kind of situation, and including providers that are now working with people with complex alcohol and, for example, mental health issues, who have got the ironic situation of their residents drinking outside of the premises and not being allowed to do that within their own home, and the problems that that raises for the service and for the residents and for the neighbours. And I mean, that doesn't make much sense, does it? So it really is time for us to take a little bit of a reality check and think that if we're not prepared to be a bit innovative here and actually follow examples of other countries, I mean, our neighbours, Australia and the United States, so Britain, Ireland, Canada, who have these sorts of models in place, I mean, we really are saying that it's okay for people to be completely excluded, left out on the streets and left to die young.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.